Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. This is show number 29. So you think you can't be a victim of identity theft? You think you're too smart, too clever, and too suspicious, too cynical? Well, think again, because you're exactly the kind of person that an identity theft is likely to go after. The fact is, millions of cases of identity theft, as well as run-of-the-mill scams, are perpetrated every year. Your best defense is knowledge, and James Mutton, former magician, has become an expert. James, you are an expert on scams, cons, and identity theft, and you're also author of The Con, How Scams Work, Why You're Vulnerable, and How to Protect Yourself, which has gotten rave reviews in many quarters, and we are really thrilled to have you on the show, James.
Well, thank you, Terry, and I'm thrilled to be here.
So, what do you think, as a magician, right, you deal in a world of deceit. It's benign deceit, usually. It's deceit aimed or geared at entertaining you. But these scams and cons, there's nothing entertaining about them. What do you think the number one thing is that makes people fall prey to these scams?
Definitely the number one thing that makes people fall prey to scams is that they are human. Every one of us has emotions. Most of us have emotions. In fact, some of the people that are least susceptible to scams are sociopaths who don't feel the same emotions as everyone else does. But everyone else who's normal and nice, we have emotions like fear and greed and charity. And con men and women are experts on human emotions, and they know how to manipulate these. And then they use those to get people hooked into the con or scam that they're about to perpetrate.
And literally anyone can fall prey to a scam, can't you?
Yes, and it's very interesting because I have this background as a magician. I'm a student, and I guess now people call me an expert in the art of deception. And being a magician is just the other side of the coin from being a con artist. We both use deception. Magicians use it for entertainment purposes. They use their powers for good, whereas the con artist will use it to deprive someone of their money. And there's actually a fun little secret. I can't share too much about the magician secrets, but one is this. It's a truism that the smarter you are, the easier you are to be fooled. And magicians know this, and so do con artists.
That is remarkable, but I'm not surprised, because you get a sense of false sense of security because of your intelligence, a little bit of hubris, if you will, and perhaps you become susceptible to flattery as well.
All of the above. That's correct. And then the other thing is, in order for a magician to do a good job of entertaining an audience, or a con artist to do a good job of parting someone from their money, they need to get their attention. They need to get their interest. And we do that in different ways. A magician will do that by doing an amazing magic trick. A con artist will do something where they use a carrot or a stick. In the case of a carrot, they'll entice you with maybe you've won a prize, or the old classic, someone overseas has got an inheritance which has been unclaimed and now they want to pass it on to you. In the case of a stick, they'll tell you something that you don't want to happen, something bad, i.e., maybe a loved one is in danger or in trouble and you need to help them out. Or a very common one doing the rounds right now in the Dallas area where I live is people are getting phone calls or emails from the courts saying that they have a warrant for their arrest because of unpaid fines. However, if you call this phone number today and provide your credit card information, we can get this all cleared up and you don't actually have to come down to the courthouse today. So a carrot or stick will pique your interest and get you hooked onto the con that's about to happen.
Wow. And so many of you out there, you get a call from what you think is the courts or the cops and you immediately become fearful. And basic human nature is when you become fearful, you want to get rid of the fear, right?
That's exactly right. And when coming back to my original point about being smart people being slightly easier to con, for example, a lot of people are busy. They have jobs where they don't want to take time off. And so the idea of avoiding a court summons and taking care of this quickly on the phone is too good to be true. So first, in all cons and scams, you'll have the carrot and the stick. Next, you'll have a sense of urgency. You need to do this right now. So, for example, in the case of something you want to happen, a prize perhaps, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to reply to this right now, otherwise someone else is going to win this prize. And also in the case of the stick, something bad happening, you have to act right now in order to avoid something bad happening. So once they've got you, they've got that sense of urgency, then there's going to be the third stage, which is the ask. ASK, I should say. I have a British accent. People not sure what I'm saying sometimes. But anyway, ask. They're going to ask you for either money right there and then, or they're going to ask you for personal information in the case of identity theft. Because if they ask you for money, that's often a one-time deal. But if they get your information, that's identity theft, and they get to use that again and again and again.
Yeah, isn't it brilliant? And so much of it, it's what you call social engineering, right?
Of course, yes. Again, it's this manipulating the emotions that we all have. One of the stories, and you made a very good point earlier. You mentioned that the magic side is fun and entertaining, but the scam side really isn't. And there's this tendency in our culture to kind of think of these con artists as these charming swindlers with the little mustaches that they oil and tweak, and they're crafty rogues. That's how they're always depicted in the movies, almost as heroes. You couldn't be further from the truth. These people are just awful human beings. And they go after people often at their lowest. There was a story recently about a young man and a computer engineer, had a very decent salary. Again, a very intelligent man. But he just suffered a breakup with his girlfriend. He was devastated by it. And out one night, he was passing one of those fortune tellers. You know, they have the neon signs that are coming for a fortune. So he'd probably had a couple of beers that night. He went in, and that started a relationship with this fortune teller, not the physical relationship, but in terms of a business relationship, which ended with him basically clearing out his retirement savings and handing over a quarter of $1 million to this lady who promised that she would be able to reunite here with this girlfriend. They go after people at their very lowest moments, or maybe you've just got all the Christmas bills and it's in January and you've got a big credit card bill, and then that enticing email just drops in your email box about how you've got this opportunity to make a great deal of money. So these people are lowlifes.
Well, it's real interesting the way this works, because millions of you literally every year fall prey. So identity theft, which is one of the chief topics of the show, how do you defend against it here, James?
Right. So there's basically two types of, for this conversation, two types of identity theft we can consider. One is when we do something directly to give up our information. And that's something we can very easily fix. And I talk about that in the book, about how people can change their behavior patterns in order to make them less of a target. The other issue is third-party breaches. You know, we really can't do too much when Target gets breached and they get everyone's personal information. But one thing we can do about those third-party breaches is be a lot more careful about the type of information we're sharing and not give too much information about ourselves. It's amazing how many times I've been asked to provide my social security number and just my everyday life. I mean, you go for a doctor visit and they ask you to put your social security number on that form. You don't need to do it. In fact, I always leave that blank. And do you know how many times I've been asked as a follow-up to, oh, you forgot your social? Never. They don't need it. A lot of these forms are outdated and they just keep the same forms. Well, the fact is doctor's offices and dentists, they're one of the biggest targets for identity thieves. They go after their insecure records and they get all sorts of information about us. So be stingy about the information you share. It's amazing. I live out in the suburbs and I drive around. I see all these minivans with mums and dads ferrying their kids to and from schools. It's amazing how much information you can learn about someone just by looking at the back of their minivan. They have those little stick figures where it shows mom, dad, and a couple of kids.
Right.
I've seen them now where they've actually put their names underneath. So now I know your son's name is Kevin and your daughter's Jenny.
Oh.
But wait a second. Just down here, you've got a bumper sticker that says your daughter goes to Plano Senior High. And she plays trumpet in the band.
She's an honor student.
She's an honor student. There you go. Look how much information you're telling me about your family. Now, these con artists, they just need a little bit of information about you to parlay that into a lot more. So suddenly one night you get a phone call from your daughter's band teacher that says, oh, Jen is doing great in the band. Hey, we've got a chance to go to the Nationals this year. We're doing a little fundraiser. Would you mind sharing $50 on the credit card? They've got a little bit of information about you, and now suddenly they are totally believable because obviously this is the band teacher talking. Who else would it be?
Right. unless they know that guy personally,
right,
they're wide open.
Exactly, exactly. So we've got to be more careful about the information we're sharing with the rest of the world. We have constant stories about people's information being accessed by Facebook, people not being aware of the friend settings they're putting and telling the whole world about their movements and what they're doing. Again, people are out there looking for this information, and they can parlay it into a crime against you. So those are the third-party breaches. The other thing we need to be doing is being a lot better about getting our credit scores, doing a credit check. By law, you're allowed to get at least one annual credit check for free. And as many of your listeners will know, there's three main credit agencies, and that means actually you're allowed to get three free credit reports because you can do one from each bureau. And you've got to do that because you've got to be checking that the accounts that's showing up on your records are actually yours. Again, if you start getting some kind of suspicious mail, you're getting credit card offers to your mailbox that you don't normally get. Watch out for those kind of things because it means that people are accessing your accounts. Now, with the things where we are can do something about, not the third-party breaches, but the ones where our own behavior makes us more of a target, watch out for the phone calls and the emails of people contacting you. I always tell people, think about who started it. If someone else initiates the contact and says, hey, this is your bank and there's a problem with your account, well, I don't trust you because I haven't verified who you are. So what I do is I take my wallet out, I look at the back of my credit cards where there's the toll-free phone number, and I call that number to inquire whether there is, in fact, a problem. You see, I have then initiated the contact so I can trust the person that I'm talking to.
Hey, that is a great point. I was sitting at a restaurant in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I get a text on my phone from a too big to fail bank telling me that my credit card has been breached. Have these potentially breached? They're from the fraud department. Are these, please call right away with this case number. So I call them up and give them the case number. And the guy wants my cell phone number. Well, you just texted me. I got very suspicious of it. And I said, this is all I'm willing to tell you. What charges are you calling into question? Gives me a couple. Mm-hmm. I said, I have no idea what they are. Freeze the card.
Right.
And then he starts pumping me for more information. I said, goodbye. So
right.
I go online on my phone, my smartphone right there, look at my account. And sure enough, those charges that he said he was investigating were there. But I don't know if he was the thief who did them or
exactly
what. So I called back the bank later on and, because after a couple of days, I didn't get a new card, which I should have gotten, but I did get some emails from the bank. So I said, well, maybe he was legit. I don't know. So I looked up the phone number. I Googled it and turned out he was legit, but I was really suspicious of him and I wasn't taking any chances.
But that's a perfect story, Kay, because look what happened. There were all the elements there of a con. So you were right to be suspicious. First of all, there's a carrot or a stick. Well, it was a stick. There's something bad happened to your account. There was the urgency. You just said it yourself. You've got to act right now. Give me a call back. And then there was the ask, where he asked you to provide him information. And any of those elements happen, that's when your warning signs should be on alert. And you did exactly the right thing. What did you do? You investigated, made sure this person was who they said they were. I would say if something like that happened again, maybe you engaged with this person a little too much initially because back and forth a couple of times. I would normally just completely ignore that person and then go straight to the bank. Again, these people are really good. You're obviously a smart guy and you have a lot of experience with this. But other people, it's amazing how much information we give to people without actually realizing it. In the world of magic, there's a wonderful branch of entertainment, which is called mentalism, which is where people give the illusion of being able to read people's minds. And they can tell all sorts of things about someone that they could have sworn. There's no way he could have known about this.
Yeah.
But because we managed to pick the information up secretly, well, scammers do exactly the same thing. But I think you handled that perfectly. I think you responded to that well. You get an A for that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it was look, you just texted me a message here. How do you not have my cell phone? And my bank, it's also who I bank with counts. So there's something wrong here. I don't trust this guy. You also had an accent from from a part of the world which is known for scams. And, right. you know, I yeah. just felt like, hey, I'm not taking yeah. any chances here.
And we absolutely, you and your listeners absolutely have to listen to their gut on these things. Police officers, law enforcement will tell you this. One of the most powerful crime prevention tools we have is our gut. And if we get a bad feeling about something, we got to listen to that. So, nope, you did right.
Hey, you know, the sponsor of the show is keepmyid.org, which actually doesn't just tell you once your identity's been stolen, James, they actually freeze your credit reports, put a fraud alert on them. So anybody trying to open up a new account in your name, they have to contact you, actually either text you, email you, or call you on the phone before they can open up that account. So
that's right.
It's identity theft prevention rather than detection. And they yes. provide insurance and everything else. So those are things you definitely need to be aware of. Hey, what is the latest scam going on right now that you need to be aware of, James?
You know what's great? Everything new is old. It's like the old songs, they come around again. The movies come around again. So although the stories may change a little bit, the scams are always the same. So, for example, I mentioned one of the ones that's coming around is the old the people being phoned with phony court appearances. Another big one that happens this time of year, not so much identity theft, but this is a good old-fashioned scam, is what we call rocks in the box. And everyone's doing a bit of Christmas shopping right now. They're looking at all their credit card bills, and you're maybe at Best Buy, just in the parking lot there, and you get out the car, and some guy comes up to you and says, hey man, come around the corner. I got a van here. I got a bunch of iPads here, mint condition. You know, I can't tell you where they come from. You and he both know that probably these iPads are not completely legal, but hey, he's offering you one for $150. Your kid would love that iPad. So you go around the corner with him, and he shows you three or four iPad boxes. He gets one out of the box. He shows you it's working, but you don't want that one. You've been using it. So you get one of the sealed ones. It's all in its wrapping, never been opened, and you hand over $150 cash. It feels good. It weighs good. When you get it home and your poor kid opens it up on Christmas morning, he realizes there's a kitchen tile in there, which has exactly the same weight and feel as an iPad. And, unfortunately, you've just ruined Christmas.
Hey, I had that one happen to me the other day in a parking lot. I know this one from way back because in New York, there used to be guys who went around in vans offering like unbelievable stereo systems for dirt cheap. And I never bought one because I don't want to buy anything of questionable origin. I don't want to buy anything that's stolen because I believe that you as a consumer, if you buy stolen merchandise, you are just setting yourself up to get ripped off because it only can exist if there's a market for these hot goods. And I'm in the supermarket parking lot. Guy comes up, hey, you like stereos? It's like, I'm not interested. Yeah, but I got something. I said, I'm not interested. Goodbye. And there was a cop like right down the block, but they were so brazen, James. I couldn't believe it. And it's like, I just blew them off, but you have to be aware of that one. Rocks in the box. I didn't realize it had a name. So beware of rocks in the box. And hey, James, we want to buy your book. We want to find out more about you. How do we do that?
Well, the book's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's called The Con, How Scammers Work, Why You're Vulnerable, and How to Protect Yourself. If you're interested in my speaking services or magic shows, it's jamesmunton.com. And then I have a website that's dedicated to scams and cons, called scamfu.com, like kung fu, but scamfu.com. And you can go there. It has a whole list of, like you mentioned in the intro, one of the best defenses is education, learning about these scams so you'll recognize them when they happen.
Yeah, and the book, again, is The Con, How Scams Work, Why You're Vulnerable, and How to Protect Yourself. And on the Identity Theft Warriors, we're all about protection. If you want to sign up, make sure you go over to keepmyid.org. Use the discount code FSN2, get the best possible deal. And James, we really appreciate you coming on. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kerry. You too. Take care.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.